Spirit will come, penetrate your hearts if you let Him. And you know that you're never going to be the same. You're going to leave here knowing that you're going to become more and more like His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
I want to go ahead and bow our hearts. Let's start with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father God, we come into Your holy presence. We seek after You because there's no other place we would rather be than in the presence of our Lord God and King. And I ask You now, Father God, as our hearts are in tune with Your Holy Spirit, I pray fire from heaven will just come and ignite our hearts right now. Because we truly want to live a life that is pleasing to You. And we know there's no other way. It's but Your word that will give us the abundant life that You've promised us. So Lord God, we come with a heart that is totally submitted to You. We resist the devil. And we know the devil has no other option, no other choice but to flee. He must go right now in Jesus' name. Lord, fill us up, overflowing of Your goodness right now. We thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, and everyone says, amen. Amen. Praise God, and praise God. Well, if you take a look at your notes, if you don't have notes, by the way, you can raise your hand, and Lawrence will get some notes to you. All right? So just raise your hands. Need one here, one more over here. All right. Anyone else? One back there. All right. Praise God. Back there. Okay. Well, today, the title of my sermon is Tiptoe Through the Tulips. Tiptoe Through the Tulips. And yeah, you know this as a song, right? But the thing is, it's spelled differently. It isn't spelled T-U-L-I-P-S, as in a flower. And I'm going to explain to you what that means in just a few minutes here. But, you know, I got to tell you, in the course of my lifetime, I made many friendships. I remember through grade school, through high school, through college, and through places of my employment, and even through the churches I've been to, I made a lot of friends over the years. And out of those friendships, I had a few, I gotta tell you, in which some of them were extremely sensitive, or ones that were easily offended whenever people said something to them that they didn't like, or something that it kind of like affected them to the point of, he's saying that about me. And so much so that you know that when you were ever around them, it just seems like you're walking on eggshells around them. You know what I'm talking about? You ever been around people like that? One wrong word or one wrong sentence, and suddenly they're like, what did you say? And they go, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You've been around people like that? And you know what I mean, right? You offended them and suddenly, your friendship with them may be in great danger. And you go, oh no, I didn't mean anything. And you know, I remember one such friend in college, you know, even after apologizing profusely, I know I said something carelessly. And I tell you, I was apologizing. I was almost on my knees. I said, no, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. Please forgive me. Still, he wouldn't forgive me until like weeks and weeks later. And I said, I'm so sorry. Really, I didn't mean what I said. And, you know, that's why I entitled my sermon today, Tiptoe Through the Two Lips. Yeah, it's spelled T-W-O, two, right? Lips. What are we talking about? What has two lips? Our mouths, right? And that's the thing. We're talking about two lips. Whenever, in this case, we have a situation, we have a friend that is overly sensitive. And we gotta be extra careful what comes out of our mouths, our two lips, when we know our friends or loved ones are that type of person where, I mean, just the slightest misunderstanding will cause them to be so stressed, cause them to be so overly sensitive. And so much we gotta tiptoe through our words so that we do not offend them and we do not hurt their feelings. And let me tell you, if you know someone like that, you know what it's like, right? It's like you're always on edge. It's like, oh, okay, I gotta be careful what I say. Oh, should I say that? Oh, maybe I shouldn't. And so we know how that is. Or it could be, in this case, also where it could be referring to ourselves. If you are the overly sensitive person, and now we know with the oversensitivity that we have, people around us, they're tiptoeing or stumbling over our words because they're afraid. They might hurt our feelings. And so it goes both ways. And we know to live a life like this, being so sensitive to what people say, we're never going to have the kind of joy that God wants us to have because we're too sensitive. So here's the question. How does one become overly sensitive anyway? Well, look at number one here. It says, when we think, put in your blank, think of ourselves too highly. Write in that blank, think. And this is what it says in Philippians 2, verses 3 to 4. Look what it says. You can read along. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. So we got to put others above ourselves. And some people say, no, no, we should be equal. No, the scripture says you put others above yourself. This is exactly what the Bible teaches us. And just to let you know, what is the definition of vain conceit anyway? Well, we talk about vanity, it's being excessively proud of or concerned about one's own appearance, qualities, or achievements. And I'm talking to the extreme where, oh, you're thinking you're more than all that. You guys ever heard of this song, You're So Vain? It was really popular in the 1970s and 1980s, right? You guys probably heard that song. It was sung by this singer called, her name is Carly Simon. I want to just read to you some of the lyrics here. You guys know this song, right? You're So Vain.
Sing it.
I'm not going to sing it. Okay, I'm not going to sing it. So I'm going to read to you the lyrics. It says, you walked into a party like you were walking onto a yacht. Your hat strategically dipped below one eye. Your scarf lid was apricot. You had one eye in the mirror as you watched yourself gabat. And all the girls dream that they be your partner. Yeah, they be your partner. And you're so vain. You probably think this song is about you. You're so vain. I probably think you think this song is about you, don't you? Don't you? You're so vain. You think this song is about you. You're so vain. And here's the thing, right? The Bible doesn't tell us that we are to have low self-esteem because someone once asked me that. So, Pastor, if we are to think ourselves lowly, we are to have low self-esteem. No, that's not what it's about. When you put others first, that's where God lifts you up. And you know where your proper position is, and you're going to feel so highly about yourself because you put yourself so low. I know for some it doesn't make sense, but this is what the scripture tells us. When we can put others above ourselves, that's where God fills us up, overflowing of His goodness, knowing we are lifted up by God Himself. And here's the thing. When we put others first, when we don't put ourselves above everyone else, there's a less likelihood of you becoming overly sensitive. Because that's the thing, right? When you are overly sensitive, you're putting all the focus, guess on who? Yourself. You're always thinking about yourself. And there's a great danger to that. You guys ever heard of Narcissus?
Yeah.
It's from the word we receive this word, narcissism, right? And it's from Greek mythology, and basically Narcissus was told to be of a hunter. And when he was born, someone told the mom, whatever you do, make sure Narcissus doesn't see his reflection in the water. He'll have a great life as long as he doesn't see his reflection. Well, guess what? He has an enemy, and the enemy kind of lures him to this pond, and he sees his reflection. And guess what happens? He falls in love, guess with who? Himself. Such beauty! So much to the point. I mean, he's totally infatuated with himself that he says, I cannot leave this pond. I gotta keep looking at myself. And one day he realized, man, I can't have a relationship with myself. And guess what? He was heartbroken because he was so in love with himself, he just said, this is it. There's no sense living because I can't have a relationship with myself. And guess what? Sometimes people, they can have such infatuation about themselves. Everyone else does not matter. It's all about me, myself, and I. And the great danger about that is when you get this kind of mentality, it's just like, you know what? Someone is doing well in their life. Someone is doing better. And you're saying, no, that should be me. Get back down here. Hey, I should be the one that is excelling. And you know, fishermen, experienced ones, will tell you, if they catch crabs in a bucket, they don't need to put a lid on that bucket. Did you know that? You know why? Because if a crab tries to climb out, it's always the case. You could test it out yourself. Put tamashii on the market and get some crabs and put it in a bucket. If one tries to climb out, guess what's going to happen? If there's another crab, it's going to pull it out. No, you don't. Boom. And you're going to bring them down. And if the other one tries to go, hey, no, you don't. Boom. That's what it does. And this is what we call the crab mentality. And the crab mentality says, hey, if I can't have it, neither can you. And did you know this term is used widely in the Filipino community? This is what I've read. This is what it says. And it says, it refers to people who pull other people down, discouraging them rather than letting them get ahead or pursue their dreams. Wow. Is there a term, a Filipino term for that? Okay. You know what it is?
Crab mentality.
Oh, that's okay. Crab mentality. There's no Filipino word for it. But you know, that's the thing. When you're so focused on yourself, that's what happens. You don't want anyone else to succeed but yourself. Look what it says in Hebrews 3:13. It says, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. What are we to do? Encourage. Encourage one another. Say, hey, you can do it. Come on, with God straight, you can soar on wings as eagles. This is how you show love to your brethren. You encourage them. Tell them, yeah, you can do it because God is with you. God will see you through. And it says, as long as it is called today. Well, simply, you ask yourself, should I encourage this person? Well, you say, today is still today. That's what the Bible says. Is today still today? If it is, go encourage your brother or sister. This is what the writer of Hebrews is saying. Make it every effort to encourage one another. Because this will encourage your brother or sister to move on with the things of God so that their hearts will not be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And God will bless you. And you're not going to be so focused on yourself that you're going to be sensitive to what everyone says about you. Well, look at number two here. When can we become overly sensitive? It says when our recurring thoughts have made us into a drama queen or king. I gotta put king too. It's not just queens, right? It's not just women. Men, we know we can be drama kings too. And I want you to listen to David's words as he expresses his agony. Look what it says in Psalm 55. It's in your notes, 3, 7, and 12 to 14. Look what he says. He says here, I'm troubled by what my enemies say about me. I'm upset because sinful people, they stare at me. They cause me all kinds of suffering. When they are angry, they attack me with their words. I feel great pain deep down inside of me. The terrors of death are crushing me. Fear and trembling have taken a hold of me. Panic has overpowered me. I said, I wish I had wings like a dove. Oh, wings like a dove. Then I would fly away and be at rest. I would escape to a place far, far away. I would stay out in the desert. If the enemy were making fun of me, I could stand it. If he were looking down on me, I could hide from him. But it's you, someone like myself. It's my companion, look what it says there, close friend. We used to enjoy good friendship as we walked with the crowds at the house of God. And, you know, when you read this, first of all, I want to tell you, it's uncertain exactly who David's close friend was. But you know, some biblical scholars, they believe that he was referring to his counselor when he was a king. His counselor's name was Ahithophel. And basically, Ahithophel had betrayed him and sided with his son Absalom when Absalom rebelled against David. And so, here's the thing. I know when you're listening to what David is saying, you almost want to, you know, have a violin player come on. You know, you ever seen the cartoons, right, when someone's like giving a sob story? And don't get me wrong, there are times, right, when people really deeply hurt us. And sometimes we say, oh man, this is my friend, this is my loved one. How can you do that? But here's the thing, sometimes we can let our emotions get the best of us to the point we're willing to lose even our most closest and dearest friends or loved ones. You know, think about this. This person could have stood by you through thick or thin. They loved you deeply. But because you're overly sensitive, boom, it cuts at your heart immediately. And suddenly you say, be gone with you. I never want to see you ever again. You hurt me. I want to fly away like a dove and be gone forever because of the great hurt you put in my heart. The point I'm trying to make here, brothers and sisters, is sometimes we can be so overly sensitive. Imagine the ones that love you the most are the ones that we're willing to say, never again. I hope I never see you ever again. This is what the devil wants. Because the devil knows, if especially this friend is an encouraging friend, a friend that lifts you up. Oh, the devil, he doesn't want you to stay in that relationship because he knows your friend will help you stay grounded, will help you stay with the Word of God. And we got to say, no, devil, you're not going to destroy my relationships. You got to tell the devil, no, this person means a lot to me. Say, in the name of Jesus, devil, you're not having your way. We got to realize this is what the devil does. He puts these thoughts in our heads telling us, oh, just end it. That person doesn't really love you. That person hurt you. End the relationship. And I have to tell you, there are many people I talk with, especially, you know, at the park and even like in different men's groups I've been in over the years. I mean, it could be like 10, 20, 30 years where someone hasn't talked to their loved one, all because of one statement the person said to them, just like, it's over. They never talk again. I said, oh man, you gotta make it right. Don't let this drag you down, because that's what it does. It doesn't bring peace in your life. You know, you probably heard of this song called Separate Lives. It's sung by this singer. His name is Phil Collins, and I know it's a blast to the past. I'm gonna give you some of the songs that were popular in the 1980s, but this song was like in the charts number one for like months. And the song is called Separate Lives. I'm gonna read to you the lyrics to this song. Just listen to the lyrics.
Sing it.
It says, no, brother, you don't want me to do that.
Sing it.
No. Okay, well, let me read it to you first. It says, you have no right. You have no right, brother, you have no right to ask me how I feel. You have no right to speak to me so kind. We can't go on holding on to time now that we're living separate lives. Oh, it's so typical. Love leads to isolation. So you build that wall. Build that wall. Yes, you build that wall. And you make it stronger. You know, you listen to this song and you realize there are two people involved, right? And it could be, you know, it's probably one man and a woman, and maybe husband and wife. You know, one probably just apologized to the other person and asked for forgiveness. We don't know what it's for, but the other one is saying, no, you have no right to ask for forgiveness. You have no right to treat me so kind. You see the dramatization coming out of here? And that's what happens when we think of ourselves too highly. And you know, sometimes it'll take a long while before that relationship is restored, especially if that person has gone through a deep hurt. You know, it could be been a betrayal or whatever. And the person says, no, you have no right to say you want to make it right now. No! No! But here's the thing. Sometimes we're willing to let go of our friendships too easily, especially Christian relationships where we become too sensitive and too thin-skinned. And I counsel couples, you know, who told me this. They said, you know, sometimes it could be the husband or wife. He said, every time, you know, the husband, let's say, the husband may say, you know, I just said something, you know, kind of carelessly, I didn't mean it. And my wife is always saying, I want a divorce. Every time I say something wrong, it's like, let's end this. I'm moving to my mom's house. I don't want to see you again. And the husband is saying, oh, I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it. And you gotta realize, sometimes we can't get to that point where we want to destroy our relationship based on something that was so small. It was really nothing. It's so much that we're willing to put up walls in a relationship. Imagine in this song that I just read to you, the lyrics. The person is saying, so you build that wall and you make it stronger. You know, first time I heard this song, oh, you make our relationship stronger. That's what I thought. No. The singer is saying, you make that wall thicker. You make it stronger so that we can never get back together. And you know what, brothers and sisters? That's what the world says. You know, you hurt me, be gone with you. But if you are a believer, you belong to Christ. Know that the love of God is in your heart. We are not to be so thin-skinned. Knowing that God has put this relationship in your life for a reason. You are to cherish it. You are to thank God for this person that loves you so much. That's how you build up your relationship. Because, you know, often when this happens, there is so much regret when someone is willing to say, I'm going to break ties with you. And like I said earlier, you know, many cases where people... loved ones, you know, brothers and sisters, mothers, fathers, whoever, saying, you know what, I don't want to ever see you again. And it's like years. And you can tell, they're dragging around our hurt. They're in pain. But they say, you know what, I feel better because I don't want to see him again or her again. But you know, deep down, there's a pain that doesn't go away. We gotta ask God to come in and heal us. Because this is the other thing. Sometimes our expectations of people are too high. It could be a friend or a pastor or a spouse or a parent. You know, sometimes we believe, you know, our loved one is perfect. Because after all, they love us so much. Oh, they must be superhuman. But we gotta realize, yeah, they are human, just like us. They make mistakes. Only God is perfect. And there are times, yeah, your loved one may say something that may hurt you. But we don't let it stay on with us and to the point we're willing to break off the relationship. You know, I heard of one pastor telling about the time where one member decided to leave the church. And the reason why, after, you know, he hadn't seen this, you know, this person for a while, he approached, you know, or called him up and asked him why he hasn't been coming to church. And he said, because one Sunday, I know you were busy, Pastor, but I went up to you and said hi to you, and you ignored me. And the pastor said, I don't remember that. And he kind of described it in detail, and he said, you know what, I remember that day, I was counseling a couple, and I was, you know, so preoccupied, I probably didn't hear you, or I didn't see you, I'm sorry. And the guy said, well, you know what? My feelings been hurt already, and I don't want to come back. Really? The pastor just explained himself. And still, he said, no, I'm too hurt. Well, you know what? Sometimes if we're so thin-skinned, guess what's going to happen? One after the other, all your relationships will be affected. And if we know we are like that, because sometimes, I've got to tell you, I can be overly sensitive too. And sometimes John Lee will remind me, you know, she'll say, okay, here's the violin. I'm like, yeah, you're right, you know, what am I doing? And I tell her, tell me if I'm, you know, giving you a sob story. Because, you know, the thing is, we can make it right. We ask God to show us how to make our situation better. We don't have to stay in our sob story, amen? We ask God to give us the answer. And with brothers and sisters around us that love us, they will encourage us to do what is right, amen? Well, number three here. So how can we become overly sensitive? It says here, when we speak, there may be an evil intent in our hearts. So we got to be careful what comes out of our mouth, because especially if there's an evil intent hidden within your heart, guess what's going to come out of your mouth? Look what it says in Matthew 15, 17 through 20. It says here, Jesus says, anything you eat passes through the stomach and then goes into the sewer. Hey, this is what the Bible says. You didn't know that, did you? Okay. Well, it says, but the words you speak come from the heart. That's what defiles you. But for from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. These are what defile you, make you unclean. It says, eating with unwashed hands will never defile you. So here's the thing. When it concerns eating, when you put food into your mouth, you know it comes out the other end, right? You don't have to discuss about that any further. But when it concerns talking, it's a little bit more complicated, right? So when you have a thought, where does it go? It's in your mind, right? That's where it starts. That thought, it starts in your mind. And where can it travel to? Your heart. And that's the thing. If you think about this thought excessively, you know, it'll travel to your heart. You start to believe it and say, yeah, I know this is true now. And then, eventually, guess where it goes? Comes back up and out through your mouth. You see that? It starts in the mind, goes to your heart, and what you believe now is in your heart. It comes out of your mouth, whether it be good or evil, right? Depending on what the thought was. And look what it says here in Matthew 12, 36. It says, but I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. And what Jesus means by empty, if your words are empty, we're talking about if it's empty of love, if there are careless words where they hurt people, these are empty words, have no meaning, but yet you use them to hurt someone. And I gotta tell you, I remember when my kids were younger, you know, they'd be calling each other names, and I remember hearing some names like, you know, piggy head or stinky boy, you know. And this is when you're really young, you know. But, you know, one day I remember I sat them down and I told them, you know, one day you're gonna stand before God, and God's gonna ask you, why did you call your brother or sister these names? And I don't know, maybe God will go easy on them because after all, they are kids, right? But, you know, here's the thing. As adults, we call each other even worse names. You know it, right? Think about when you're driving behind the car. You know, someone may say, you blithering idiot! You gotta take some driving lessons! What's wrong with you? You don't know or what? Sometimes it just comes out, right? Or remember, sometimes someone may say, oh, I didn't mean that, it just came out. Remember what the scripture says. If it's in your heart, you may be hiding it, but it's going to come out. When your emotions are kind of riled up, suddenly you're like, oh, should I have said that? Why did I say that? That's why it's so important. You got to stay in the word. Let the word cleanse your heart so that these times when you know you're going to be riled up, less likely, I didn't say less likely, not absolute zero, not just two. Might be a possibility, right? But less likelihood of you saying something that you will regret. And that's why we got to make sure the Word of God is truly deep within our hearts. And you know, here's the other thing. At times, we got to be also very careful of the amount of words that we use. Look what it says here in Proverbs 17, 27 to 28. Oh, I love this verse. It says here, a truly wise person uses few words. A person with understanding is even tempered. Even fools are thought wise when they keep, what does it say there? Silent. It's okay to keep your mouth zipped sometimes, because with their mouth shut, They seem intelligent. Oh, is this wisdom for us or what? This is in the Bible. It tells us sometimes it's better not to say anything at all. And you know, my father-in-law, he lived by what this scripture says. And I tell you, he always says, less talk, less mistake.
No talk, no mistake.
No talk, no mistake. And he says he has a happy life whenever he obeys this teaching. And I asked him one time, I said, Pa, did you get this from the Bible? He says, no, this is something I live by. And I go, oh, wow, Pa, this is from the Word of God. And it's true. Sometimes we gotta realize it's better just to zip our lip and lock it up and throw away the key. People will think, oh, you really are intelligent. Oh, look at you. You're not making yourself a fool. Look at the other person who's just talking so much that everyone's going, who is this cloud? Sometimes we gotta realize if we're using too many words, zip it up. Look what it says in James 1:19. It says here, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be what? Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. And I gotta tell you, these are words of wisdom, because when we speak slower and choose our words carefully, we tend to use less words. Think about this. When we speak slower, we think about it before we say it. That's why you're speaking slow. Less chance of you using damaging words against the other person. So here's a good example. Someone, let's say, said something to you that really hurt you, right? Instead of saying, because I've heard people talk like this before, just listen to this dialogue. The person may go up to the other person and say, you know what? You hurt me so bad. I am so upset. You're the biggest jerk in the world. I wish I never met you. I wish you were never born. Your mama definitely raised a fool. In fact, your mama is probably a fool. Oh, that's hitting way below the belt. I want you to understand. You see, like, how it just kind of progressively got worse? Sometimes we can do that too. Sometimes we're so kind of pent up in all of our emotions. It's just like a train going, like, you know, 100 miles per hour. Zoom! And they see a brick wall up ahead, and it's not slowing down. They see it, but it just keeps on going, and guess what? There's a big train wreck. Sometimes we gotta slow down our words. Don't rush into speaking when your emotions have been riled up. No, you go to God and say, Lord, I know. I gotta control my tongue. Lord, help me. So instead, we should go to the person and say, you know what? Can you explain to me what you meant by what you said about me? And why you said that? You see, like, when you talk to a person like that, you don't use these words that will bring forth emotion. You just want clarity. You know what I'm saying? Less likelihood of you becoming stressed out in your life because now the person is upset at you and ready to knock you out. No, we always go and try to resolve things in a way that, you know, God will bring forth His peace. When you humble yourself and you think to yourself, hey, I'm not all that. I'm not above this person. This person is supposed to be above me. It's okay. And you know what? When you do it like that, that is what is called the supernatural way. Because the world sees this as being unnatural. But we know this is God's way. Therefore, it is supernatural. Because you humble yourself. And you're willing to get things right through God's way. And you know, that's what we do. After we said that, you know, we asked them, you know, can I have some clarity? Why? Then we just stop. And the Bible says what? And listen. Now you listen, because sometimes we think we're so high and mighty, all that. We just want to keep on talking because we're all right. No, I'm going to keep on talking. No, the Bible says stop. Slow it down. Listen to what the other person is saying. As you listen, the person goes, oh, this person really cares about what I'm saying to him now. And then God will restore your relationship. You're doing it God's way. You got to understand This is God's way. And it's up to us, are we going to follow his way or not? Amen? Well, number four here, it says when we choose to love superficially, that's when we can become overly sensitive. When we choose to love superficially, not deeply at all times. Look what it says in 1 Peter 4, 8 through 10. Let's take a look at that, and you can just read along. It says, above all, love each other what? Deeply. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in his various forms. Love each other deeply, Peter says. And it's really up to us. How much are you willing to put into the relationships that God has put in your life for you? Because God, he did it for a reason. The people around you, your loved ones, your friends, you got to understand, God knows everything about you. And there are times where he puts you in a situation, he knows you're going to make friends with that person. And the thing is, how much are we willing to put in to our relationships? Because, you know, we got to put in effort to really get to love deeply. We got to be willing to spend time. We got to get to know the other person. And, you know, it's just like when I was dating my wife, Jonna Lee. You know, when I first met her, I got to tell you, I admit, I was physically attracted to her. I was like, oh, what beauty. But here's the thing. Woo-hoo! After I got to talk to her like a couple of times, you know what I fell in love with her more than anything? Was her love for God. I got to tell you, that was the honest truth, because I was praying for a godly woman to enter my life. And when she came, I knew she was the one. And I have to tell you, I just knew that she had a passion for God that was genuine, that was real. And I said, this is what you've been praying for me, Lord, right? And I remember the Lord just saying, yes, Ben, you better believe it. And that's what it takes. When you trust in God that much, God will bring forth the best relationships in your life. But it took time. Do you think after just meeting her, let's say after a day, would you think I would say, okay, I would be willing to die for this woman? No. It took some time, right? After like probably months, after I talked to her on the phone, you know, went out on dates and stuff, I got to really know her for who she is. Man, already I was telling myself, oh, I'd be more than willing to die for this woman. But it takes us to develop those relationships. It doesn't come overnight. But you got to understand, we got to remember as Christians, as believers, it's not our own human love that we're expressing. Because the Bible tells us the God of love enters into your heart. And you receive his Son, Jesus Christ. So we are loving with the love of God. And if you're loving with the love of God, know that your relationships will stand the test of time. It will continue to last because you're not loving superficially, you're loving what? Deeply. Look what it says in Ephesians 4, 29. It says here, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Anything that will bring a person down. Because what we are to do, the Apostle Paul says, we're going to build each other up. Always think of ways to speak encouraging words to one another. Now, I got to tell you about this counselor. He once tells about this wife who came to seek counsel from him. So this wife comes into his office, and she's full of hatred toward her husband. And you know what she says to the counselor? She says, I do not only want to get rid of him, I want to get even. And she says, before I divorce him, I want to hurt him as much as he hurt me. Oh, what a scorned woman. Scary. So, you know what the counselor did? He suggested an ingenious plan. You know what he says to her? You know what you should do? Go home and act as if you really love your husband. act as if, he says. Tell him how much he means to you. Praise him for every decent trait. Go out of your way to be as kind, considerate, and as generous as possible. Spare no efforts to please him, to enjoy him. Make him believe that you really love him. And after you've convinced him of your undying love and that you cannot live without him, then you drop the bomb. Tell him that you want a divorce. This is coming from a counselor. Can you believe that? That will really hurt him. And with revenge in the wife's eyes, she smiled and exclaimed, "Beautiful! Beautiful! Will he be ever surprised?" And she did it with such enthusiasm, acting as if she really cared. You know, here's the thing. For 2 months, she showed love, kindness, always listening to the husband, giving of herself, always reinforcing him, just sharing with him her deepest thoughts and just really loving him. And you know, when the counselor realized, oh, she didn't return after 2 months, she decided to give him a call. And you know what? The counselor asked her, "So, are you ready now to go through with your divorce?" You know what she said? "Divorce? Never! I discovered I really do love him." And here's the thing. Her actions had changed her feelings. Motion or action resulted in emotion. Motion resulted in emotion. Because she acted in a way, even though she was maybe putting on an act in the beginning, to the husband, probably she was a good actor, right? The husband said, "Hey, she really loves me." And even though her heart wasn't into it, when he started responding back, then she realized, he really loves me. And the husband really experienced her love in a genuine way, I'm sure, after time. When she was receiving love, it was reciprocated. You see that? That's why we gotta realize there are times when we feel like, oh, that person doesn't really love me. But sometimes it's because we're not doing our part in giving love back to that person. We gotta be careful of that. Because sometimes it's all about us. I wanna be loved. Give me the love. But we're not willing to reciprocate it back. We're just saying, oh, so long I'm loved. That's the main thing. No, it doesn't work that way. It must be reciprocated. Amen? And as you love more, guess what? You're going to receive more. More love from the other person. And the whole point of this is, if you think you're one that is overly sensitive, make a decision to love deeply at all times through your words and through your actions. Because loving deeply, you know what it means? It means to love God's way. If you are a believer, someone says to love deeply, this is what the Apostle Paul says to us. Love deeply. That means to love with the love of God. Not with your own human love, because that's what we have. If you don't know God, you're just loving with your own human love. But when you love with the love of God, that's where you're going to expect miracles to happen. You're going to expect blessings of heaven to enter into your life because you're loving supernaturally. You're loving with the very love of God. And it doesn't matter how the other person treats you, because remember, God's love is what? Unconditional. No matter what the other person says or does to you, you choose to love. This is God's love. This is how you know if you're truly loving God's way. If you're not loving this way, don't say this is the love of God. No, it's not. The love of God says, no matter what, I'm going to choose to love. And you're just going to watch how your relationships will be so blessed. And you won't become an overly sensitive person anymore. And, you know, I want to read to you the end part of the song. Remember that song, Separate Lives? I want to read to you the last several lyrics of this song.
sing it.
Well, it goes, well, you have no right to ask me how I feel. You have no right to speak to me so kind. Someday, I might find myself looking in your eyes. But for now, we'll go on living separate lives. Yes, for now, we'll go on living separate lives. Oh, really? Is that what you want? Because here's the thing. The person says, someday, I just might find myself looking in your eyes and saying, you know what, I forgive you. But if you don't love with the love of God, and you don't love deeply, guess what? That someday will be never.
Never.
God is saying, to love now, you must say yes, Lord. Because I know I can't, but you can. I want to conclude by showing this clip. We'll just bring everything home. The reasons why we are to love deeply is because we know God wants to bless our relationships. And if your relationship truly is blessed by God, I got to tell you, you're going to have many, many loving relationships. But it's up to us. Brother Lawrence, can you show the clip? Brothers and sisters, we do not want to be boxed in bitterness. Because that's what can happen. If we become overly sensitive to what people say to us, we just break off every relationship because they hurt us. Guess what? You're going to be boxed in with bitterness your whole life. And God says, let it go. Because, you know, God says, I can restore your relationship. The devil doesn't want you to have loving relationships in your life. The devil wants you to be in misery. He wants you to be in agony. He wants you to be lonely. And you know, that's what can happen if we box ourselves in with bitterness. So what are we to do? We are to say, God, it's yours. I'm surrendering all my hurt, all my pain. I'm not going to be overly sensitive. I'm going to be a loving person. so that as your love enters me, Lord, I'll just give it out. Give it out, regardless of what people say, what they do. I'm just going to keep on giving your love. And just watch how your life will be so blessed. You're going to have people flocking around you, just wanting to love you. Because guess what? They're not overly sensitive. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the message spoken today. And I thank you, Lord, knowing it's your Holy Spirit that counsels us, that gives us words of life. And I know these are words of life that you have spoken through me, Lord. And I pray, Lord, all my brothers and sisters will realize that when we truly are overly sensitive, we're not going to have many loving relationships in our lives. I just pray, Lord, you will help us to be forgiving people, that you will help us to love unconditionally so that we can truly be blessed with all the relationships around us. Now, with our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, you know, I kind of look at my life and I kind of realize now that maybe I boxed myself in with bitterness. I haven't been able to forgive others as I should. And I'm just so sensitive to what people say about me. But you kind of realize now that the Holy Spirit is touching your heart and saying, you know what, don't be concerned with what others say about you. Know that Father God values you and loves you so deeply. And he calls us to love others deeply, not superficially. And if we can love each other deeply, we're not going to be so overly sensitive. And if that's you, and you're saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I want to be filled, overflowing of the love of God so I can just give it out. I'm not going to be one who's overly sensitive anymore. And if that's the cry of your heart, can you raise your hand so that I can pray for you? Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Keep your hands up. Say, that's me, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. You put your hands down. Let's pray. Father God, you've seen the hands that were raised. More importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands saying, Lord, I want to be a forgiving person. I want to be a loving person. I'm not going to be overly sensitive anymore. I want my relationships to be blessed by your hand, Father. And I just pray, Lord, these are the cries of my brothers and sisters' hearts. Lord, will you fill them up, Lord, overflowing of your loving kindness, of your goodness. Let them know that they can love supernaturally because you will enable them, Lord. And I just pray just a constant flowing of your presence and your power in their lives right now. Thank you, Lord, for what you have started in their lives, which you will continue to do. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Everyone says, Amen. Now, for some of you, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I've heard of people talking about having a relationship with God, with Jesus Christ. What must I do? How do I get started? Well, you can start off by praying a simple prayer, but it must come from deep within your heart. And if you are ready to say yes to Jesus Christ, that means you're ready to say, Lord, I submit to you. I resist the devil. I'm going to live my life according to your ways, according to your word. You are ready, and this is your heart's cry. You're saying yes to Jesus Christ. Can you raise your hand and say, that's me? Praise God. Anyone else? Praise God. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. All right. Praise God. You can put your hands down. Let's pray this prayer out loud. Let's pray together as a family of believers, a family united in the Spirit of Christ. Just repeat after me these words. Say, Father God,
Father God,
I need you. I give you praise for who you are.
I believe in you.
And I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ,
who
died for me on the cross. But on the third day, he rose again. And he lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And
Father God,
I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins.
and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord. And make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this. So you can hear me, Father God. And so that everyone can hear me. And so that I can hear myself. And so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for him. I live for him. Father God, write my name in your book of life. So I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says,
Amen.
Let's all